So moving on to myelofibrosis, there are studies that are ongoing right now with luspatercept in that scenario. Where do you see that heading? And how do you see it being used strategically in myelofibrosis?
Absolutely. So in myelofibrosis, obviously, anemia still also remains a major challenge. Anemia is a strong predictor of outcome. So those patients that are anemic don't do as well with myelofibrosis. Around 20% of patients with myelofibrosis presents just with anemia. But also anemia happens in the disease sometimes as effect of the treatment. So ruxolitinib has been important treatment we offer for the patients for their constitutional symptoms, for spleen reduction. They improve their functional status, their quality of life. But the major side effect for those patients is becoming anemic. Sometimes we render some of those patients blood transfusion dependent because of the ruxolitinib. And the options for treatment of anemia in patients with myelofibrosis are even more limited than in MDS. Typically, we use some steroids and androgen-based treatments like danazole. Sometimes we use IMIDs like thalidomide or lenalidomide with really limited success in the range of 20 to 30% responses. So there is definitely an unmet need there. So like agent like luspatercept would be ideally positioned for patients that are transfusion dependent or predominantly anemic. Also, it could be used in conjunction with ruxolitinib to alleviate the side effect of anemia with ruxolitinib. And the first study was a pilot study with the agent sotatercept that showed activity in patients with myelofibrosis. And then the current ongoing study is with luspatercept, and there are several arms. Some would include patients that are transfusion dependent, not on ruxolitinib, and some arms included patients that are on ruxolitinib, adding luspatercept for those patients.
Any predictors of treatment benefit with this agent that have been looked at or been discovered?
So obviously the splicing mutations, so those patients that have any splicing mutation, particularly the mutation called SF3B1, it's a splicing mutation that we see predominantly in patients with ring sideroblasts. Almost 80 to 90% of patients with ring sideroblasts will have it. It's the only somatic mutation that's actually associated with favorable outcome in MDS patients. But the other splicing mutations also were predicting the response. There were really no good correlation with the endogenous serum EPO level, so patients responded regardless. So far, what we know is the ring sideroblast, the splicing mutations seem to be the predictors of higher response rates to those erythroid maturating agents.